As Stevie said, we're kind of the new kids on the block to the YFC family here in Carmen, so it's really exciting to be a part of such an amazing group of staff and volunteers. So my name is Michael Wilton. I have had the privilege of growing up in this community, growing up just south of town here, off of on the farm, and attending church at Friends Community Church. I met my wife, Christina, as of 3 going on 4 years in 2012 when we were both attending Nipawin Bible College. We'll let her introduce herself a little bit.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Wilton, and I was born and raised in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and that's where parents still live today. Growing up, just a brief, I guess, testimony, if you will. Growing up, my parents were not Christians, but my aunt attended church and would often take me along. And the church I attended had a mentorship program in place for the youth that are attending the church, where they would pair a youth up with a older adult or young adult or somebody that had interest in being a part of that. And it was through the influence of that mentor that I began attending church and later on going to Bible college.
So before meeting at Nipawin Bible College and even throughout our time there, Christina and I were both involved in youth ministry to some extent, whether it was at a camp or a drop-in or a youth group setting. And even after we got married, it was always our intention to minister to the youth in our community to some extent. We just never thought that God would call us to the degree that he has. So we were in Winnipeg, and after we finished our post-secondary education, myself in agriculture, and Christina in massage, we moved back to Carmen and started volunteering in our church, Friends Church, starting a youth group and a young adults group there. And it was during this time that Stevie invited us to start volunteering at the drop-in. I don't know about you guys, but it was kind of our experience, especially having been away from Carmen for so long, that we'd kind of lost a little bit of connection with the kids, or I had. Christina was new to the community, with the kids that I'd grown up with. A lot of us in Carmen, after we graduate high school, we go find jobs and careers outside of town. So we were having trouble really finding a connecting point back in our community with like-minded young adults. People. And at the drop-in, we definitely found just that, a bunch of young adults that were passionate about Jesus, passionate about kids. And really, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, we started volunteering at the YFC for the people and the staff that were there. And then we stayed because we fell in love with the kids. So before our need, or our start of the involvement of the drop-in, there was a need for a male and female program coordinator. And so when we were praying for God to fill these positions, we were searching and really just praying for God's leading and guidance to bring someone to fill these positions, because it was a huge need. We never really knew until right at the end that God was preparing our hearts during that time to take on these positions, and that was exactly what he was doing. I'm going to hand it back over to Christina. She's going to give a couple stories on how God's been working in the hearts of these kids.
Okay, so So as many of you maybe know or maybe not, so I'm just part-time staff at YFC, and so I have, I guess I juggle a day job, if you will. And so early one morning, I was sitting in the office preparing for my clients of the day, and I got a message from someone calling my attention to a post put out the night before on Facebook. One of the young girls expressing some suicidal thoughts online. I quickly sent a message to her to check if she was all right and to see that she was still safe. I received a message back after a while. Oh, big sigh of relief. But I felt I needed to see her for myself. So I told her that if she was willing, I would, if she was willing, that night I would take her for supper. So we made a plan. It was a little bit hazy, but it would work because it was all that I had. So that evening, I drove from Winkler to Carmen, and I waited at the place that we said we would meet. And she wasn't there. I went to her house. I even just drove around for a bit. Finally, with nothing else I could do, I just sat and I prayed. I prayed that she was safe and that she was okay and that God would intervene. And I felt the Spirit quiet my fear and offer peace and comfort. I knew God was in control. That young girl was safe that night. God knew that, and he let me know it too. In Isaiah chapter 40, it is entitled Comfort for God's People. And verse 26 says this: "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and called forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missed." So in October, I continued the tradition of doing the girls' clothing extravaganza. Many of you are familiar with this one. For those of you that maybe aren't, we take in clothing donations, we set up a store where the clothes are free and the girls are able to come in and pick up some new clothes to wear for the season or for the rest of the year. So this year, we had a recent grad come out to participate in our event. She told me after showing me bags and bags of clothes that she had picked out that this week had been a tough one for her, that she had recently moved out, and this week she had lost her job. And after spending all the money that she had left on clothes, on food for the week, she was pretty disheartened. But today, a friend of hers had called her and told her about this event, and she came out, and she said it was just like God was providing for her in her time of need. All these girls come from different places in life, or all these kids, I guess. Some are from broken homes where their dads are not in the picture, or both parents aren't, or even abusive situations. Some turn to drugs to deal with the deep hurts and the consistent trials of life. We have lots of fun through the programs and activities at the back door. But at the root of it all is relationship. Not only because good relationships are what these kids need to help them cope with life, but we all know that in relationship is where the gospel is best shared.
So we're there to chat with the kids and hang out with them and be there through life's hardest times and through the different conversations and struggles that they may be going through. And God's been working incredible things in the lives of these kids. We've been impressed on, and this was a lot through Stevie's leadership, that when we pray for these kids, we need to expect God to show up. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So often when I find myself praying, I'm asking for little things so that I'm not disappointed when I don't see God working. And so I've been really challenged by that. And in our prayers for these kids recently, we've, God, draw them to yourself. And it's been really incredible. The last 3 weeks, here's a really good example. 3 weeks ago, I had a kid come up to me and say, "I don't believe in God. It's not rational. It doesn't make sense to believe in God." 2 weeks ago, "I don't believe, it doesn't make sense for me to believe in God because I'm going to go to hell anyways. So even if there is a God, I'm going to hell." Last week, "Michael, can you bring me to church?" Isn't that incredible? So we've gotten in the habit of asking God for big things, and sometimes, as Stevie said, it's slow and it's hard to see the growth, and we're there for the long game. Other times, God really surprises all of us in showing up in huge ways, right away is when we're asking. And so Tyler's going to come up. He's going to bring the message and give a couple more stories on other things from his director perspective.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. For the back door, this is church stop number 4 this winter. So we've been a lot of places, we've seen a lot of people, but I'm just really excited to finish at home. Just feels good. Feels good to be at home. I haven't been in church a lot this winter with Jess working and kids being sick and being in different churches. So thank you. Thank you for being home. Thank you for having us this morning. I'm going to echo a lot of what Stevie said to start. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for many years of support of the back door. Your support of the drop-in extends beyond my time and history, both at the back door and calling CPA home. So we appreciate that long-standing partnership. Also, thank you for your support and care as partners and as church family, for me and my family, for Stevie and her family. And Stevie already said that, but yeah, if you talk to her afterwards, congratulate her on 9 years of serving the back door, serving YFC. That's no small feat, so make sure you stop and then say hi to her, congratulate her on that. And with your prayer and financial support, hopefully we can celebrate many more years with her. We're looking forward to June when she comes back from maternity leave. Another major highlight of our partnership with CPA is the camps at Manhattan Beach Retreat Center. We've had so many youth over the years, and again, that extends beyond my work at the back door. So many kids attend camp. We've seen so many cool things at camp with those students. And that's thanks to somebody at CPA saying, hey, why don't we involve community kids? Why don't we make that camp that our youth are going to available to the kids in our community, making sure that they knew about it, making sure that was open to them. So thank you for that. You are an integral part of our team. Together as a team, we run 4 drop-ins per week for different age groups. We're running a weekly lunch program that runs 26 weeks of the year for grades 9 to 12 students, where they hear about Jesus, the Bible, prayer, and a bunch of other topics. We run regular girls' nights, and thanks to Michael, regular guys' nights have now kicked off as well. So we're super excited about all that. We go on outings on a regular-ish basis, and we go paintballing, we go to Flying Squirrel, we go swimming, we go tubing at Stephen Field. You saw some of those pictures there. And again, we get to take kids to camp, some for the first time, where they feel free to be themselves, to let their guard down, to let new friends in, and to begin to explore what Jesus did for them and why it matters. It is not all fun and games. We do sit beside hospital beds after suicide attempts. We encourage other students in their sadness or anxiety. We talk with and challenge those who turn to substances or troubled relationships to find moments of happiness or to fill that God-shaped hole in their hearts. We love and care for youth struggling with their sexuality and gender. We have lunch with young people who are in trouble with the law, facing serious charges, to make sure that they still know that we care, that we haven't forgotten about them, and that God definitely hasn't forgotten about them. No matter what, we will continue to do our best to see students through Jesus' eyes. We will choose to see treasure and not trouble. My favorite YFC tagline is, "We see the hope and potential in every young person." God created them on purpose, for a purpose, and we see it as our mission to try and nudge and point towards that purpose, which of course includes a relationship with the God who loves them. If you're not currently part of our team, we'd love to change that. If you are, we'd love to explore more possibilities, and I'll get to that in a little bit. I really appreciate Pastor Jake doing my intro last week with his message on fishing. He encouraged us to be fishers of men and talked a little bit about different ways to do that, to prepare yourself. And he encouraged us to simply get out, go to a fishing hole, cast a line. And I'm going to stick with a similar message today of simply stepping out. Talk about the opportunities at the back door fishing hole. And I'll use a story about a fisherman named Peter. Just before church started, Dale Penner was bugging the Wiltons that they should be inspiring. And my message portion is called, "You Are Average." So, you're welcome. So the story about Peter comes from Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 22 to 33. So Matthew 14, 22 to 33. It says this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost!' But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage, I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?' When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." That's a wild story. Jesus had told all the disciples to cross the lake. He's going to take a bit of a breather. It's the middle of the night, and the disciples are now in the middle of the lake fighting the wind and the waves. Verse 24 says they are in trouble. The disciples are probably thinking, not again. It's just a few chapters earlier where they're fighting the wind and the waves. This time, Jesus isn't on board. But wait, out of the darkness, through that wind, through those waves, comes the figure of a man. Someone shouts, "It's a ghost," to which Thomas replies, "I doubt it. I was counting on you guys." That's bombed 4 times now. I thought if anybody would get it, it would be you. You got it, but it was just a little slow. Anyway, I'll keep using it. I think it's funny. Of course, it's Jesus. Peter gets this half-baked idea. Hey, walking on water looks like fun. No one asked him to do it. Jesus did not call for him to come until he'd mentioned it. Peter just wonders, what if? What could happen if I try something new? In this case, one thing is for sure, if Jesus hadn't been there, curiosity might have killed that cat. So Peter is your average fisherman before Jesus comes along. An average guy just minding his own business. And I don't know about you, but most days I feel pretty average as well. That averageness can have a tendency to get me down. I often feel like I'm falling short in different areas just because I don't excel in them. Chances are, when it comes to our inherent intelligence and abilities, most of us would probably qualify as average. Maybe the thought of being average can be depressing or demoralizing. It has been for me. But I think that's only because we've been conditioned to think that. What I'm beginning to believe is that average can be okay. I'm beginning to believe that owning your average can actually be freeing and powerful. That being exceptionally gifted is not necessary to live an extraordinary life. I think that thought should be freeing because we can embrace the fact that not everything we do will be exceptional. We can let go of the fear of not being exceptional. You can stop saying yes to only the things that you think you'll immediately excel in. Instead, you can begin to believe that success requires a lot of hard work and that your fears and failures don't necessarily make you below average. Your mistakes and wrong turns are probably pretty normal. I don't think that Peter was afraid of failure. That being said, I think it's safe to say Peter was a little bit impulsive. He didn't necessarily make a habit of thinking before he spoke or acted. If you're like me, you can maybe relate. I think it's safe to say that his heart was usually in the right place, though. So, when we can also set our mind and heart onto becoming who we were created to be, we can stop comparing ourselves to others. We can own our average and focus on who we are and what we were created to be and what we have to offer. Just like Peter, we can then become more interested in growth and forward movement. What could happen if, like Peter, we focus less on intelligence and abilities? Those things are important, don't get me wrong. But maybe shift our focus a little bit to having a posture of readiness, an open mind, and just being curious. Put yourself in Peter's shoes and wonder what could happen if I step out of the boat. And I hope you've heard the words step out and forward movement. Being okay with average does not mean complacency. The life to the fullest that Jesus promises does not mix well with being stagnant or a life without passion, purpose, connection, or deep meaning. Being okay with average instead relieves the pressure to perform, to measure up, allowing us to become interested in our surroundings, curious about what could be. And those things will make us want to go and do. To me, that sounds like Peter. It was his interest and curiosity that made him step out of the boat. He is the only man, other than Jesus, to have experienced walking on water. It didn't last long, and some might say that he failed, but at least he stepped out. He tried something new. Not one of the other disciples got to experience what he experienced. So what am I getting at? God has something for you to step into. You might be lucky enough to be in it already. Maybe it's something new that he's moving you towards. Maybe it's working with students at the back door. Lots of folks are nervous or feel that they would be way out of their comfort zone working with teens. But maybe, like Peter, you could step out of the boat. Maybe you could try it. Frederick Buechner says, the place where God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I'll follow up my inspiring claim that you are average, and I'll further suggest that sometimes that intersection where deep gladness and deep hunger meet isn't one that we can find. Maybe we'll only realize we're there when we get there. If that's the case, we're going to need to try something new. We're going to have to be willing to fail and then try again. We're going to have to be willing to move forward and step into something. This was definitely the case for me, and I think it's safe to say for the Wiltons as well. Mission work, working with students, wasn't for me. If you heard some of my earlier talks from 6 years ago, you heard my claim that I don't even like teenagers. It was not for me until I tried it. Until I took a chance and stepped into it. And here we are 6 years later. So even if you feel a slight itch, we would love to chat with you and maybe even have you try out a drop-in night. You may try it and find out that it is not for you, just like Peter did out on that lake. But at least you tried it and experienced something new. On the flip side, you might find that place where what you have to offer and the gifts you have to give, the words you have to speak, are exactly what is needed. Volunteers are the backbone of the Backdoors Ministry. Every year, the Backdoor is the recipient of several thousand volunteer hours. Those who come to drop in, steering committee members, folks who help with fundraisers, maintenance, bake cookies, help with events, drive bus, cook lunches, clean the drop in. Some of our cleaners are here this week. We need all of those people, or we cannot feed, care for, build relationships with, or even open drop-in doors without volunteers. Time is probably our most valuable asset, and the Backdoor is lucky enough to have volunteers choose to give a piece of that to them and to the students. There's so many ways to help out. You may even have a new idea or suggestion that we could explore. We're always looking for committed volunteers who love Jesus and want to care for students, or just use their abilities to bless students in some way. We would love to chat with you about the possibilities. If volunteers are the backbone, prayer is the foundation. James 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. 1 John 5, 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What I read there is that when we pray with an earnest heart and try to align our lives and prayers with God's will, God hears those prayers, and we're going to see him move. So when we ask folks to pray for volunteers to be part of showing God's love at drop-in, for students to turn from harmful substances, relationships, and lifestyles, for their protection, and for them to realize the love of Jesus, their value in God's eyes. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think those things are aligned with God's will. We have so many prayer warriors on our team, and we are so grateful. If you aren't part of that team, would you consider it? We send out a prayer calendar every month, making praying for the Backdoor super easy. It's got a prayer request for every day of the week, every day of the month. All we need is your email, and we can send that to you. So if you're interested, come see us at the back. We'll take down your email. Make sure you're on that for next month. And in the meantime, there's some cards, postcards back there with all our drop-in times. And you can take that and start with that. You can pray over our drop-in times. Lastly, of course, we have financial partners. Without you on our team, we wouldn't be able to run a drop-in for for volunteers to come. We wouldn't have the ministry to pray for. As a financial partner, you keep a drop-in center running. You fund events and experiences that students might not otherwise get to have. You send kids to camp. You feed them. You give them the opportunity to hear the amazing news of the gospel. This church community has been so awesome for attending our fundraisers. Please keep it up. You help us keep up with those operating costs, so thank you. We'd love to see some golfers on June 25th, so you can mark your calendars already. If you're looking for a missionary to support, Stevie, the Wiltons, and myself are all currently looking for some new partners to cover some monthly deficits. And I brought pledge cards, so we got you covered. Feel free to see us at the back. Finally, we also have big plans for the spring of 2022, when we hope to begin construction on our expansion. The preliminary design work is done, and we have someone lined up to remove the old piston ring building. There's, of course, lots of final design, material, and hiring decisions to be made yet. And we're thankful to have a volunteer consultant on board who is well-versed in commercial construction. The major piece right now is, of course, the fundraising. We're just a few thousand dollars away from hitting 50% of our goal of $1 million. We'd love to have you on board. Meet us at the back. You can check out the really cool pictures that are done up by the architect that we had, and you can take home a brochure. I'll just close with this. God has a vital part for all of us to play. I think the very best way to approach life is to simply be interested, bravely explore, be willing to try and fail. Do your best until you know better. Then do better. Big dreams make for easy excuses not to start. But don't be discouraged. Just start small. Excuses will be harder to come by. Even if you don't change the world, you may be exactly the person your friends or community needs. So don't be afraid to be like Peter and take a step. There is a chance you will fail. But there's also the chance that you could experience something worth far more than the risk. Something beautiful, amazing, even life-changing. Thanks again for the opportunity to be here this morning. Appreciate you all.